Hello and welcome to the Anthrozoology podcast. This is the second of a two-part series where we are discussing cat abandonment in Saudi Arabia, which is based on the work that I did for a paper which has recently come out, and we'll put the link to that paper in the description. And that was my thesis for my master's. But it's also based upon the work that I've been doing for the last 18 years with cats in Saudi Arabia, the last 10 of them with Mohammed. Hi, Mohammed. Mohammed is now recently an intern doctor, just passed his exams, and he's doing his internship at the moment in Book in Saudi Arabia. Welcome, Mohammed. So I'll just say a little bit about how I know Mohammed, and then Mohammed will ask you a question and over to you, if that's okay. So when as I described in the first episode, I started rescuing animals in Tobruk in Saudi Arabia, and it basically morphed through various versions. 10 years ago, before we had a proper vet in Tobruk, Mohammed found out about one of the clinics that I was running with a vet who had come to visit. And his cat, Cookie, had been hit by a car, and he asked me to help. Cookie was unfortunately very badly injured, and so stayed with me for several months, and I actually flew into Riyadh twice, which is 1,200 kilometres away. So by the time Cookie was well and went back to Mohammed, I basically persuaded Mohammed with a big twist of the arm that he needed to help me rescue cats. So we're now a registered charity within Saudi Arabia, and I've now left Saudi Arabia, but still do a lot of the online stuff. And basically, Mohammed and I, along with Layla, we run Tobruk Paws. So we've known each other 10 years now, and Mohammed's got a much better memory than me. But today, we're going to carry on talking about the paper I wrote, which started talking about last week, and I mentioned about some of the reasons for cat abandonment. So, Mohammed, if you're able to tell us some of the reasons that you've experienced.
First of all, thank you, Sarah, for this opportunity. It's a lot of reasons, and I can't really say what is the top or what is, you know, the lowest one. It really varies from time to time. And I would say, you know, holidays, seasons, and traveling is one of the most, you know, issues or, you know, excuses for people to dump cats.
Can you say a little bit more? Sorry, can you say a little bit more about Ramadan and Hajj?
Yeah, why you know, they connect that to Ramadan and Hajj? Because, you know, holiday season. It's not like because it's Ramadan or because it's Hajj, but, you know, the holiday starts at Ramadan and at this time. We really, really notice the amount of cats that dump next to the clinics, next to even volunteers' houses, is getting, you know, noticed more at this period of time.
Just for people who are not aware, Ramadan lasts for about 4 to 6 weeks, if you include the Eid holiday at the end, and Hajj lasts about 2 weeks. But that means people often go away and travel around different parts of the country, or they go abroad. Is that right, Mohammed? And there's a lack of fosters or people to look after their cats for them?
It's not only people that they are going abroad. It's even if they go to visit family members outside of the city for maybe a few days or maybe a few weeks. They just like ask if people can take them. And as you said, and you mentioned, lack of facilities is one of the main factors that affect that. As you know, here in Tobruk, we don't have a very good boarding facility. So this is a very huge issue. Also, not all the people accept looking after their cats if they left. And also, you know, the prices of the boarding sometimes it's very expensive.
And why wouldn't they take their cats with them then?
One is their family that they are going to visit, they don't accept cats. One, the father or the mother refused to take the cats with them. And also the cost of maybe sometime if they travel in the plane, they refuse to pay the cost for taking the cats or, you know, the animal.
Is there, do a lot of these people re-adopt the cat when they come home? Do they try to find the animal that they left and bring them back into the family? Or is it generally just that once the cat is abandoned, it's abandoned permanently?
Yeah. Okay. So your question, you know, reminded me of something. Also, if you open like a boarding, and if you take the cat for a boarding, or if you just like being nice and take the cat with you until they come back, the chance of taking the cat back is very, very low. You will be ended with the cat. This is also one of the main reasons we stop boarding cats here with us. So it is, you know, it's like, you know, from the both side, the issue, it's not only from lacking of facility. Maybe lacking facility is because of people, they don't take their animals back. So it's a little bit of a problem. As sometimes the son or the daughter or, you know, the owner of the cat, they take the cat to someone to take care of. And then when they come back, the parents will say, okay, just leave it with them. That happened also with me like a few months ago. One of my brother's friend gave him a hamster, and the hamster was staying with us. It was okay for me, but the holiday ends and they didn't come back, and I was nagging my brother, tell them to come back. They didn't even brought food or nothing. So after a while, they take the hamster back, and they find out that they put it up for adoption. And they mentioned if no one will adopt the hamster, it will be dumped in the street. So,
but to answer your questions, I don't think that there really is a great search, perhaps, Michelle, because with family unit, it's very different. So the fact that if an animal is put on the street, that's probably because the power dynamics of that family mean that they're not really interested in the cat in the first place. So therefore, it's probably unlikely that the cat will be searched for when they come back, especially if having now been on the street, it's now considered dirty. And maybe Mohammed can explain more about that in a minute, but obviously it's probably unvaccinated, probably unsterilized. It's now tried to survive on the street for a period of time, so it would be considered unclean, Mohammed? What would you say?
Unclean and also not sick, but they think if it's in the street, it can, you know, transmit diseases to them. This is what the men, what they think.
So when someone has a cat in their home in Saudi Arabia, does the cat normally live inside 100% of the time? Or is there this, you know, the cats kind of come and go as they like?
It depends. It depends on the owner and on the cat. I have some cat that they go to the yard, to my yard, and they come in normally. And some of them, they are only indoor. So it depends on the cat and the main thing. Also, if where the owner live, and if they are in the apartment or in the, you know, a bigger house that have a yard or something. Although I don't think here in Saudi Arabia, the street is very safe on for cats, as they can get lost very easy. There is no microchip database. And also, we know about, you know, poisoning and this stuff randomly. It's not safe at all. So most people, they keep their cats indoor. And, you know, they sometimes they take them outdoor, like in the yard only. But yeah, it depends on where they live and the owner and also the cat personality.
And there are also cases, part of my research, that sometimes people let cats out to get married because they believe that it's the cat's right to have sex. And so that does happen. And of course, sometimes the cats don't come back, or sometimes they come back injured, and then they become unwanted and are put out. And sometimes the female cats, and maybe you can talk about this a little bit more, Mohammed, when they're not sterilized, people can become overwhelmed by the number of cats. So they might let the cat out, they might get pregnant. The cat then is no longer wanted, and the cat and the kittens, in whether they're born or not, might be put out on the street.
Yeah, the problem is, Sarah, is these people, and yeah, as you mentioned, they think that it is the right to do that, and it is you know, it is God willing that he, why we do take something from the, or a part from the cat body. It is natural in the cat body. It's not our right to do that. And they go on with that, let the cat pregnant, get more kittens. I'm okay with 4 kittens. And then after a while, you know what will happen. 100% of these people, they come back to us after like maybe 6 months or 8 months or a year. They want us to help them sterilizing their cats. I have a case, and there is, I think Sarah maybe would remember that, you know, Yazid, the main thing
of our first thing. Set. Yeah.
And there is another last year. She was one of the most anti-spaying neutering people. She was against that from the beginning, and she got a male cat, and he's starting to ask, you know, he was in heat. And then she got him a female. She said, oh yeah, it's the right. And after a few months, like 8 months, she ended up with 60 cats. 60 cats, she wasn't able to feed them well. She wasn't able to vaccinate them. And they got all sick, all malnutrition, and she came begging for help to treat the cats. And most of them died, and you know, from 60 to 20, but still they are not sterilized, and they got pregnant over and over and over. So the problem is they don't really realize the importance of that unless it's very late, and it's they have already the problem with them. So this is also another issue. They just dump them on the street of this amount of cats. We have do you remember Dam'a, Sarah?
Yeah.
One of the cats we rescued, and she was dumped with another 15 cats next to a restaurant from a breeder that he wasn't, he decided not to sell cats anymore, but he dumped them next to the restaurant. So
I think one of the interesting cases as well is, not cases, but one of the interesting factors goes back to something Mohammed said before, is this idea of lack of facilities, which is linked to maybe why the facilities are not there in the first place. Lots of people, they try to board their cats or take their cat to the vet and say, oh, we'll just stay one night and blah, blah, blah. And then they just don't come and pick them up. That happens in grooming places, in clinics, in people who foster. And as Mohammed was saying, there are many, many cats dumped outside vet clinics. And that is just becomes a natural thing that you see. It just seems to be a way of people seem to think they can get their cats recycled almost. If I put it there and somebody else will pick the cat up, and it's really quite depressing to see. I know, Mohammed, you see that a lot when you go to the clinic. How do you think it affects the cats when they're abandoned, when you see these cats outside the clinic?
Okay, it does really affect us and affect the cat mainly. You know, I sometimes I really avoid going to the clinic unless it is very urgent thing, because I don't really want to see more cases there. We are very overwhelmed with the cats and with the amount of the cats. So it's really hard to see some of the cats and not able to help. It, you know, especially if the cat is sick, paralyzed or injured. Seeing them like that and leaving them without help is just heartbreaking. Also, it does really, really affect the cats. It affects their health. Also, it affects their personality and causes for them depression. You know, do you remember Roxy, how she was very, very, how can I say it? She was very, very unhappy of being outside the clinic. She wants to be inside all the time next to people. And also, sometimes people dump healthy cats, shaved very well, you know, health. But because it's next to the clinic and there are so many cats there, and some of them sick cats, it gets sick anyway. So it does really affect both the people and the animals there. Yeah, so also it does affect the place there. It is very, sometimes get very, very dirty because people, they leave food just in the street like that, and they without considering that it does affect them badly. They don't put it on like plate. They don't put it on something clean. They just throw the food and leave, so it becomes very, very dirty.
Yeah, so I guess that was kind of that was going to be my question, how it sort of, yeah, seeing all these cats in a poor state would affect you. And I was smiling earlier, not because of what you were saying, because I heard a cat meowing in the background and I was like, is that Sarah or Mohammed? But I think that was your cat. So I guess spinning it on a positive note is, yeah, I guess how does it make you feel? So we discussed earlier the story of Lovebug, a cat that you guys were involved with rescuing, and now sort of seeing this cat is living a best life in France. So what do you sort of get out of it that you feel is really, really positive?
I mentioned about the viral video.
Yeah. So first of all, we never thought it's going to be viral that much. And it is, it never stopped until now. People are sharing the video. It does really affect that. It makes me happy sometimes, all the time. Actually, seeing the cat was almost dead, to the cat that full of life, very beautiful cat, very full of energy, full of love. And also sometimes we say, okay, don't care about what people say about you, but it does really affect us in both sides. When we see how people are happy to see this cat, how she became, it does really make us happy and make us, you know, want to help more of these cats. And yeah, I want to show you the cat that was meowing. Come.
Yeah, I can hear him. He's a little more.
So handsome.
Yeah, so this is Sweet Boy, one of the very, very hard cases. Hi, say hi. So Sweet Boy was almost dead. He was one of the cats that were dumped out of our place. And he was like one of like stray cats. He was vaccinated, neutered. He was very, very okay with that. And people were feeding him. And he got injured in his jaw, broken jaw. And he wasn't able to eat for 2 months. Two months of not, you know, eating normally. But, you know, we went through that. He was very, very hard case. It was my finals, my last month rotation. It was really hard. But sometimes we think it's not the medication that helped the cats. It is the care and the love, and they fight. Like, you know, Duda now with us, she's fighting what she's having. So yeah,
I just want to come back to just because I think it's important in terms of the reasons for abandonment, especially within the local community. Is I'm thinking of allergies and traveling, Mohammed, as two of the reasons that are given up front for the reasons for relinquishing the cat. But as I just wonder if you can give a couple of examples where you've dug deeper and those are not actually the reasons for wanting to relinquish. There are other reasons underneath that, but those are the standard accepted reasons for abandoning in Saudi. Can you think of some examples of those?
Yeah, okay. As Sarah said, we have been in this for like almost 10 years. And I think we got the experience of seeing how people lie. If someone came to me and said, I'm traveling, and I give them solution, and then they tell me another excuse, and then I give them solution, and they give me a third one, that's absolutely a lie. So when you, they make them angry, and then you find out it is just getting old, or the cat is sick, or, you know, it's getting a little bit of fungus, when you find out after that. As one case I really remember, and it was a lady, she came, she said, I'm traveling, I need you to take my cat. I gave her the solution, I gave her boarding facilities, I gave her everything. And then she said, oh, my husband's allergic. I said, how come, and you have this cat have been with you for now, like maybe, I don't know, I can't remember how, but it, you know, it was with her for too long. And then she said, yeah, we are planning to have a baby. As I am an intern doctor, I can explain, you know, how that doesn't really affect them and they can avoid that. So then I find out that the cat got a little bit of fungus and she sent me a picture of it. So it wasn't really the main reason. It was the traveling or the allergy or having the baby. Maybe it's all as it is as one. And then she just, you know, decided to dump it. Also another one, a lady came, and this is why we ask questions, why, the main thing, why. I find out that she is using the medication wrong, in a wrong way that affects the cat's health. And this is why she's not getting better. And after I explained how she's using it, the cat healed and treated after just 5 days of using it correctly. So sometimes we need to ask to more questions. Although, you know, Sarah, that makes people angry. They don't want to be questioned at all. They just want you to say yes and take the cat and not to open your mouth or write anything.
So you talked a little bit about, both of you, about the lack of facilities. Can you share a little bit to sort of paint a picture? How many are there? How difficult is it to find a veterinary clinic? How difficult is it to find a boarder? You know, how many are there in the areas near these communes or compounds?
Well, first of all, compounds are within the different cities. So they're not just compounds necessarily out in the middle of nowhere, although there is a new one, which is that. So you've got the cities within which there are perhaps boarding facilities and veterinary clinics. In the three main cities, Dammam, Riyadh, and Jeddah, there will be many, many, several actual numbers. I don't know, but there's two main ones in Riyadh, which is a huge city, and there's several in Jeddah. There's one which we recommend into book. We don't recommend any other into book. Dammam has an American base. So if you are lucky enough to be attached to the oil company there, you can get good treatment. And they do have a couple there. Apart from that, all the other veterinary places are more like pharmacists. They're not the same standard as a veterinary clinic. So people don't have access there. So yeah, boarding facilities, there are no official boarding facilities. There are people who do it as a little business because, as Mohammed said, what will happen is they soon find they're not making any money. They're just having a lot more cats. Have you got anything to add to that, Mohammed?
Yeah, this is the main issue from the boarding part, but also there's another issue is people, they don't really trust the board, most of the boardings here, because they are not really clean. The cats get sick back and sometimes they just die, or maybe they sell them until the owner they are died. And we know we witnessed so many things like this, or they just take the money and dump the cat. Some boarding, they do that, and we know them, but you know, they don't really, they are not working anymore. It's just individuals, people they do as a boarding. So yeah, they just take the money or dump, or you know, neglect the cat, sell the cat, or even, you know, just leave it to die and then just tell the owner that the cat's dead.
So what's the answer, do you think? You're obviously been working on this problem for a long time, right? Trying to sort of educate the public and solve the problem, that doing the trap neuter vaccinate, release, manage. What do you see as solutions?
Okay, people always, or people that they care about the animals here, they most of them, they say about having shelters and having, not just, let's say shelters, you know, big shelter that collect cats and help cats or dogs. But I always say I'm not against that, but this is not the main solution for that. I always say education, education, education. Education is the main thing. What's the solution if we just collect cats and dogs and then and somewhere and no one is adopting, no one is taking care of them, and no one is just like hoarding of the animals. So the main thing, if we look from where we started to now, it's a huge, huge difference. Every time I go to the clinic, at least 5 cats get spayed every day or neutered, which is a huge amount regarding what we had before. And how many people are coming to help the cat. Sometimes people, I never thought that they will really help, but they are helping. And also showing this on social media does affect very, very good, in a good manner. And we always say good things and good and helping is contagious. It make other people to help. As I started, my dad and my mom, they don't really like cats, but you know, now they're okay with them. And I find out that sometimes they put, you know, food and water for them outside. Also, our neighbors, they started to feed cats and put water for them outside. So, as I say, education and making people know or to see the good things is the main way to solve the problem. Putting the animal welfare education in the schools, parents teach their kids how to take care of them. It's really a really good way to solve this problem.
And if I can just also interject there. So I made a diagram, I think it was like 2017, and I can put a link to it in the information. The first thing is breeding, stopping selling cats, because that there are more cats that are being produced than anybody can cope with. The second thing I would say would be TNVRM and having guardians in every region. So track, neuter, vaccinate, release and manage. So they, for anybody who doesn't know, they can be colonies of cats, and even in streets can be managed and looked after properly. Enforce, having laws about abandonment, including enforcement, and also having this microchip database, because at the moment, if a cat's on the street, you've got no idea who's dumped it. If they've even missed it, they might be missing the cat. They might want to be reconciled with the cat, but we just don't know. I definitely think that we need a sanctuary as well, because there are a number of cats that get badly injured that cannot be, or it's very complicated for people to look after them in their home. So I do think we need having cats looked after in the community, and then cats that can't survive that to be looked after in sanctuaries, and then try and keep people who want to look after their animals to be able to look after them in their home, have affordable facilities, accessible facilities, good facilities with the right information and the right answers and all that kind of stuff. We need all of that. And the only way we can get to that stage is by actually talking to authorities, some authorities who want to listen to us and other rescuers who have lots of solutions. And we're willing to, anxious and very keen to put them forward. It's just being able to get our voice, the cat's voices through our voice to these people. That's what I would say. That's a starting point anyway.
Sounds like it all links back to that education, educating the communities, educating the politicians, educating the lawmakers.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us, Mohammed. I mean, I know it's fascinating because I work with him, but it's great to get the information out there and have a chat about it. And I know there's so many other things we haven't discussed, so many other things that we could talk about. Social media within rescue would be a great thing to chat about another time. Compassion fatigue would be another really interesting thing we could talk about. Trolls, another thing that we could talk about. But for now, I think it's really a good starting point to have this podcast. And hopefully you can join us again at another time, and maybe with Basma or another rescuer, and we can talk about other things.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And maybe we can put a link to the charity in case any of our viewers want to donate or learn more.
Yeah, thank you guys for this opportunity. It was really nice to meet you all. And it's my pleasure to be with you and part of this.